Amar HaMechaber. So he introduces the Sefer as follows. Amar HaMechaber. The author of the Sefer says as follows. Achibra zelo chibartiv lalamid v'nei adam es asher lo yodu el askirim saidu alhem kfar. He starts by saying that what you're going to find in this book, the reason I wrote this Sefer, is not to teach you any chidushim, not to introduce you to ideas that you've never heard before, but I'm going to remind you about things you already know. This is a chazara book. I'm going to force some esam pirsum gola. I'm going to tell you about things, remind you about things that are already very well known. Before some esam pirsum gola, things that people are very familiar with. So again, as we said yesterday, you have to smile a little bit when he says that most of what you find here are things that really everybody knows already. And they're not even in doubt about these things. I'm not going to try to prove to you something that that people don't accept. El shekafi rof apirsum kenegin masha amitam glui lakol kacha helem hem motzi ma'od v'ashicha rabba. The issue is that because those things are so well known, because they're so famous, so popular, so accepted, that's exactly the problem. The more that something is widespread, the more that it gets forgotten. It's sort of like, sometimes someone gets up and says a Dvar Torah, and you're like, I've heard that one before. You know, so you tune out, you're almost not paying attention anymore. And it doesn't matter if the person comes to the same conclusion as you're used to hearing, because you're not 100% focused on it anymore. It's after because the things are, I have that under my belt, so I don't make the effort to zero in and focus. And I would say almost like, when you drive a car, so at this point, if you're driving for a number of years, so a lot of how you're operating behind the wheel is like autopilot. It's not really autopilot. Now you can really get autopilot, but so much of your consciousness and you're just reading the street in front of you. Do you drive in Hong Kong? No, I didn't think so. Okay. But reading what's in front of you and just hopefully, having an awareness of, is a kid jumping out between the two cars? Is there a stop sign coming up? Glancing over your shoulder or in the mirrors periodically. That is almost like second nature. It's like a reflex. You're not thinking about it actively. So when it comes to many things, yidios and behaviors and practices and mamari chazal and words of the Torah, sometimes the fact that it's in your second nature means it's not at the forefront of my mind, and I may not and I don't always react with that same the same awareness because it's sort of like in that autopilot mode. Which is ironic, right? You think if it's in the autopilot mode, I don't need to think about it, but it's often when people are on autopilot that they are less responsive and less reactive, which is why a lot of these autopilot, what is it, like the number of people who fall asleep behind the wheel because they're on, auto drive is like, skyrocketed and injuries and accidents, chas v'shalom, because you're not thinking anymore. Al kein, einato el zanoka mizah sefer yotzei min hakriya bo pama achas. So he says to you, Noah, and to me and to everybody, the advantage, the benefit you're going to get from this book, thank you so much, is not from reading this once or twice. That's not where you're going to get it from. You're going to read it once, and you'll be like, yeah, okay, I know this. This is pretty much what I've been taught since I'm a kid. It's going to be very little introduced to new material that you didn't know before. He says, I'm telling you straight up, don't buy this book, don't read this book, unless you're really going to do it consistently. You're going to repeat it, you're going to chazer it. It doesn't say this in the Hagdamah to, Rashi doesn't say this in the introduction to the Chumash. Shnai and Bikra gets you to do it every year, hopefully. But he says you need to be prepared to invest a certain amount of commitment in the Sefer if you want to get it right, if you want to get something out of it. So he says because you don't remember something from reading it once, you remember something from the repetition and drilling it into your head and coming back to it, and that's where it's going to go from that autopilot mode to something that you're manipulating with your hands. Always, want to give a mushal. Musser is sort of like, it's like a football game, right? The way the NFL operates is not just like a pickup Nerf, kids game in your backyard or in the schoolyard. Why? Because In when kids play, so you just, as it goes, you throw the ball, you're on the ball, and you catch the ball. In the NFL, so you have lots of people on the field, but it's always mind-blowing how many people are needed to run a professional football team. Because besides the players, and there's more players on a football team than any other sport, you have the coaches who are on the sidelines, and then you have a whole box up on top of the stadium. You have the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, they're all getting messages from the, you know, the statistician, you know, who's looking at the field and has, right, you know what I'm talking about? Like this, it's very complex. And they're all wearing their headsets. Again, you don't have that in any other sport. There's no head coach on the sidelines of a basketball game with a headset who someone else is telling him information, right? Why is that? Because when you have that vantage point from above the field, when you have all that other information besides just your playbook, you can actually offer more perspective, and not just more perspective, but you know when to press the buttons. Okay, this needs to happen now. This is the play that has to be run at this moment. We all know the information. We know the play. You can't be on the team if you don't know the play by heart, but someone needs to say, okay, I see where things are going. Do it now. That's your brain versus your hands and your body in Musser. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I need someone to press that button that says, okay, this is how you respond to the curtain situation now. And if you don't have someone signaling that to you, then you're going to make a mistake and you regret it later and say, oh, why did I say that? Oh, why did I do that? Why did I hit the snooze button again? Why did I stay up too late? Why did I watch the Netflix? Whatever it happens to be. But you need someone to say, okay, activate it now. So how do you do that? I don't have an offensive coordinator. I don't have guys working, you know, backing me up. It's just me. And the answer is you do. You do have those people. But you need to exit, you need to train them. You need to activate them. Truly great people have undergone the change that we're discussing, have managed to use their own brain and their own Yetzer HaTov to function as a multifaceted, you know, a coordination team. That's what we're doing over here. So how do you do that? So the Mesilas Yesharim is starting to give us a little window into that methodology. So number one, you got to review this more and more. The more you review it, the more you get it into your brain, the more it's accessible at your fingertips. Everyone remember when you took your driver's test or you took your like your permit test, you had to read a little book, right, to take the test? How many people have chazered that recently? Ever? You didn't read it. Okay, good. So if I would ask you, like, what's the minimum, like, the maximum, like, blood alcohol level to get pulled over, you wouldn't know, right? So, okay. So some people may have... Some people may have more experience and, you know, had to chazer whether they liked it or not. But the point, so you might say, okay, that's not so important. I don't drink. I'm not going to drink. Okay, fine. But there actually is more information in that booklet that really would help you. Like, you know, difference between the white lines and the yellow lines, right? But you may not have it always at your fingertips. And you need to. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? It's a whole book. But you're right. On a day-to-day basis, 98% of the book I don't need to use. But when I get pulled over by the cop because I did the wrong thing, it's because it was page 96. I didn't chazer, right? That's how it works. So the Mesilas Yesharim is saying you need to reinforce it, not once a day, you know, but not once every 10 years. That's not going to cut it. But the more it's at your fingertips, the more you will respond the way you're supposed to at those moments when you're called to reawaken the part of your brain that has the appropriate response. Vitzira, im tizbonim bahove brova olam, ki rov anshi ha-seichel ha-moir va-pichim ha-charifim, yasimu rov hizbonim v'staklusam bedakos ha-chachmos v'omak ha-yun. It says most smart people out there, if you look around in the world, so what are they spending their time with? What are they thinking about? So they're involved in pursuits, and they're involved in, disciplines and fields that are demanding and rigorous and require a lot of intellectual focus. Okay, ish ish kvinati asichlo b'chishko ativi. Every person according to what interests them. Okay, yeshetaruchu mod b'mechkar abriya v'tev. There's some people who are scientists and they're involved in nature and they're examining nature and they're experimenting and they're studying and they're discovering. V'chem yitnu kol yunum l'schuno l'andasa. There's other people who are involved in mathematics and engineering. Yeah, and that's really what's on their minds, and that's how they spend their day, right? If you want to be an engineer, you know, you have to put in years of study and learning computer science. That's a whole discipline in its own right. There's some people who are more focused on manual labor and the physics involved there, and there's others who decide to devote their life to kodesh, to chinuch or rabbanus, hainalimara Torah kedosha. They're learning. Mehem bepulei halachos, mehem midrashim, piskei dinim. Some are involved in halachos. Some people learning gemara. Some people learning medrash. Right. But bottom line, whatever discipline you enjoy, that's where you're going to focus your time. That's what you're going to study. That's what you're going to do in your free time. That's what you're going to do in your professional time. However, he says, ach me'atim yu min aminazeh, asher yikbu iyun v'limer al yanei shlemus havoda. Al-Ava, Al-Yira, Al-Dvekas, Al-Kol, Shara, Chalki, Al-Chiz. He says, even amongst those people who are devoting their time to the appropriate, you know, religious endeavors, even among them, the percentage who are using their rigorous intellectual faculties to focus on the obligations of Ahava and Yira, we'll say the emotional parts of Judaism. When he says over here, Chelkei HaChassidus, he's not talking about, you know, the Chassidus that we talk about, but in terms of perfection of the mensch, perfecting a person's, not just their actions, not just their knowledge of halacha, but their emotional and their spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beyond pure behavior, externalized behavior. He says, bottom line, you know, like, how many hours do we spend learning Gemara? We have hours and hours. There's a morning seder, there's a night seder. How long are we learning most for? 20 minutes? Half an hour? Right? What, you went to Tershra, right? What slice of the day, what percent of the day is Musar, officially?
40 minutes.
40 minutes, okay?
Or no, also, we have another morning seder.
Okay,
also.
You have a little bit, depends on the shiur, right? But yeah. Once you, quote-unquote, graduate past Shana Aleph, it shrinks, okay. Right? And when you come to YU, so unless that's something that your Rebbe is really putting a focus on. So we have a Sichas Musar once a week for 20 minutes from 9:40 to 10 p.m., okay? So I'm telling you right now, that's not because the yeshiva thinks that 20 minutes out of 7 days is the appropriate allotment towards Musar. That's the amount of time we're going to have in a public scale in the base medrash for Musar Shmuz. But that's not enough. Everyone has their Daf Yomi shir. You go out in the world, you learn Daf Yomi. Great. Who has their Musar Yomi? I hope you do. But like we said yesterday, that might be more important than Daf Yomi. He says, that's the bottom line. People are not focusing on these things. But let's understand it. The rationale, good morning, Adam, is not because they don't think it's important. If you'd ask anyone, is it important to focus on the mitzvah of Avas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim? They'll say, of course. These are critical mitzvahs that everyone has to invest time in. He says, you can't be a Talmud Chacham and not also have a mastery of these important topics as well. Okay, so bottom line, how come you don't spend time on it? And they should rule pierce advarm shi to some eslam shi rolam tsar lahotzi biyunam zman rav. It's what we said. You know it already. So you think it doesn't take a lot of time. You look at your Bava Basra and you say, wow, that's a big book. I better spend a lot of time on it. And then you say, oh, there's a mitzvah to fear God. All right, done. Let's move on to the next mitzvah. There's another 612 left. It's not that simple. There's a whole Masechta of Yerushalayim as well. It's right here. It's in Masechta Yesharim. It's a few hundred pages here too. That needs time. That needs focus. That needs intellectual faculties delving into how it needs to be applied on a daily basis. And guess what? It's a lot more practical. Rebbe, I don't want to learn Bava Kamma. I don't have an ox and it's not goring my neighbors. Okay, so learn Masechta Yesharim. You need it every 5 minutes, every 2 minutes. This is your life. It's a Masechta B'fnei Atzma. But people don't think about it in that way. Not because they don't think it's important, but they think it's simple. It's just a check off another box. So he says there's one other, maybe you can call it sociological reality, that emerges but also reinforces this negative trend towards Musar. Again, not because people don't think it's important, but because when you think about it, I was joking yesterday, you know, but if Nesilat Yesharim is your third period in your seminary day, you know, and the guys in yeshiva think, okay, that's just like fluffy stuff, that's a grave mistake. Because what lends itself is that, okay, Bava Basra, that's for the, you know, separates the men from the boys. That's a yeshiva shemesachta. That's a lot of work. And then, you know, and then everything, and if you see someone learning Musar, so, you know, maybe he's not so smart. Maybe he can't handle, you know, the tough lumdas that we're learning in the Machlokas Rishon. It's not true, right? So he says, if you see a person learning Musar Sefer, you think, you know, he must have a low IQ. He must be, you know, that he's not capable of doing something more. Again, that's a big mistake. And if that's the trend that emerges, then we're going to have people who know a lot of stuff and important things, but they're not going to have transformed themselves to be a Jew, an Ish HaShalim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. And then I have to be honest, the more the person perfects himself, even if he does it at little stages one at a time, the better you will feel as an individual. You can't always measure your knowledge of one Masechta versus someone else's Masechta. You know what, you finish Bava Basra, you're moving on to Gittin, or whatever it is, you know, like, but you will appreciate as the more you work on the refinement of your midos, again, not in a condescending, negative way, But as we said yesterday, you'll look around and you'll say, Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu. I told you, my Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Kohn, he came into shiur one day when I was in 11th grade, gave a bang on the table, woke us all up, as he often would, better than a cup of coffee, and he said, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, I could have been a truck driver. It took me many years to fully understand what he was saying. And I don't want to put down the profession of truck. I happen to know some from truck drivers. It's a wonderful, good, honest profession. But if, you know, plug in whatever job you want to put in, the stereotype of the truck driver isn't the most, you know, royal, noble type of job. Again, you know, you can be a very fine Jew and be a truck driver. But you usually don't need that much education. And, you know, you're, whatever, fill in the blanks. But so he used that as an example to say, like, I could have been anywhere in life, but Hashem positioned me to be in a place, to be in a in surroundings where I'm growing, I'm perfecting myself, I have a higher notion of what a human being can be. Like Rabbi Chanan Washman said that, you know, the only way Darwin was able to come up with the theory of evolution is because he never met my Rebbe, the Chafetz Chaim. If you meet a tzaddik, you meet a holy person, there's no way... A monkey? Are you kidding? Right, the famous story with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on the airplane. Everyone knows the story, right? The Rabbi Yaakov was sitting next to a secular member of parliament, I think, a very important politician. You know the story, right? We said this before. So Rabbi Yaakov had a grandson sitting in a different row, kept coming every few minutes to ask him, you know, do you need something? Can I get you a drink? How are you feeling, Zadie? And the person sitting next to him, I don't understand. What you know, my grandchildren, you know, they don't even want to talk to me. They never see me. They never visit me. What did I do wrong? She said, the difference is because your grandchildren... my grandchildren look at me as two generations closer to Sinai. Your grandchildren look at you as two generations closer to the monkeys, right? So it's the perfection of human being is a realization of the holiness of the neshama, of the purity of my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that exists inside of me and the levels that I can reach by striving for more in my growth as an Oved Hashem. That's what we're striving for, and you will notice, without being condescending, you'll look around and say, Baruch Hashem, I'm better than I was before, and I'm appreciative, and I feel bad for that person. I better pull him in and learn a few minutes of Musar with him, because it's an amazing feeling to feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply by transforming my own personality, my own attitudes, and working constantly towards growth and perfection.